Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together, one frame at a time.
Hey guys, I'm Randy Unger, and this is another episode of Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together, one frame at a time. And with me tonight, I have a lovely panel of guest critics, as always. We have new to the show, Ms. Castellan Villar, and also no stranger to the show, Mr. Matt Roran.
I was really hoping you'd mispronounce my name. it's good to be here, Randy.
Good to be here.
Yes, great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Anytime. So it's good to have you guys. We've got a lot to talk about. But first off, this week, we sadly lost a great member of the entertainment community, comedian and actor Mr. Richard Lewis. He was 76 years old. He had Parkinson's disease and died of a heart attack. And, you know, he's been a staple of the comedy world for decades. And most recently, he's been on Curb Your Enthusiasm as Larry David's good friend, his good friend in real life.
Yeah,
since summer camp.
They were born on the same day in the same hospital.
Yeah, that's
which
crazy.
Is insane.
That's a love story right there. But it's a true romance, and
he
was just so good, so original, very self-deprecating, sarcastic.
Yeah, I remember getting into him very early on when I was younger, seeing him stand up. In the 80s and just being, it was, you know, no one else was doing like depression comedy yet. It was so depressed. So like, you know, he was the man in black, you know?
Yeah, that's
that natural dark humor.
He was really one of a kind, and his style has never been matched.
Yeah. Him and Belzer.
And they were both,
were both very good friends.
Yeah.
And they were in the movie, The Wrong Guys together, which is one of my all-time favorite comedies.
It's one of those movies that are under the radar, I'd say.
Definitely way under.
1988 comedy. Yeah. Gotta love it.
I love it.
Castellan, were you a fan of Mr. Lewis?
Yeah, a bit. I can't say I was the most familiar with his work, but of course, he left a big stamp in the comedy world. He influenced a lot of other people as well, especially because of, like you said, Matt, really bringing that sort of like theme and topic to light in comedy. Yeah. It wasn't light and fluffy anymore, and it was sort of the comedy that we didn't know we needed, and we still need it to this day.
Yeah.
It's because it's real. So
it's honest. It's just it needs to be spoken. And he really was a pioneer in that type of craft.
I mean, it is like a common thread through stand-up now. And it's like, it's crazy to think like back then. It was like, it was a very rare thing.
Yeah. It was really sad. But you know, he left behind a great legacy.
Yeah.
You know, Robin Hood Men in Tights. But yeah, his work on Curb was really something special.
I'm glad we got him back this season.
I know.
Because he was absent from last season because he was sick. So.
And you know, he really did not look too good towards the end. But he went out guns blazing, I'd say.
Yeah.
And his repartee with Larry was just so great.
It's crazy too, because the last episode that airs is him telling Larry, like, I'm leaving you everything, like, you know, when I die. So it's like kind of weird that he died like a couple days after that.
Right.
It's like,
they knew that he was on his way out. So a great send off. And, you know, Curb Your Enthusiasm is a great show. It's on its 12th and final season. Those of you who have not seen it, fantastic. Kind of an extension of the Seinfeld universe in a weird way.
Yeah.
And, you know, Richard was an integral part of that universe. So he will be missed. He's a good man. All right. Moving on. So we have two reviews, and these are two films that are fantastic, in my opinion. They are the epitome of the dramedy. And the first one is nominated for 5 Academy Awards this year. It's called American Fiction. It's a great story. It's great performances. Screenplays and direction is on point. Our second film that we're going to be reviewing after that is called Wonder Boys. And this is a lesser known film from 2000. But before we get into that wonderful movie, American Fiction. So basically, Thelonious Monk Ellison is a writer. He's kind of hit kind of a crossroads in his professional life, and his publisher wants him to write something, or the people who are his audience, his readers, want him to write something that is quote unquote more black. And he tries to, he definitely does this and does it in sort of a joking way, but that joke becomes a sensation, and he is now basically a celebrity. Well, his alter ego is a celebrity, and now he's trying to deal with that fame. And at the same time, he's having some serious family issues. He got a sister and a brother. Brother played by Sterling K. Brown, also nominated for an Oscar. Jeffrey Wright's nominated as well. And it's basically about monks' professional life and personal life basically coming to a halt. And he's trying to like basically reconcile everything and make sure he does the right thing. So I love this movie. It's in my top 10 for sure. It's got some very heavy, deep issues, but at the same time, it's kind of told in sort of a light way. So it's a great balance between the dark and the light. And I think it's a wonderful film. Casterlin, I know you're a fan. What did you think of American Fiction?
Well, I have so much to say about American Fiction because it was such a fantastic film. Also, because we're going into two films that revolve around characters who are writers specifically, right? These films don't particularly have any similar like plot points. Like, it's completely different stories, but in that idea that it's stories about writers, isn't it great? That
Of
the writing is great in
course.
all of the films. Like, wouldn't it have been terrible if it was like a story about writers and the writing was terrible? Because the writing was so wonderful.
Right.
It was really, really authentic to expressing what it means to dialogue between family members and between professional relationships, romantic relationships, and even secondary relationships. So this film was really necessary in this day and age for highlighting what it means to be an artist in that regard, an artist working in a business and navigating those waters.
Right.
It's something that I find has been kind of highlighted in some careers, but maybe not others, right? And yes, this is also about a Black experience as well. And it's funny that you mentioned just now, like, yes, there is like so many light themes to how they told this story. And that's something that made it so refreshing. It made it something that was something you want to have a conversation about. And yet, because we'll talk about Wonder Boys soon, there were so many dark themes in Wonder Boys, and we'll touch on that. But it's ironic that American Fiction used these lighter tones,
Right.
right? Almost as though the message is we have to dilute things to make it digestible, or we have to make it just in one specific realm of storytelling for people to love it or accept it, right? If when it's coming from a Black perspective. But would the film have been as effective if they had made it in as dark of a tone as Wonder Boys is,
Right.
right? There's so much like deeper, darker humor even in the cinematography choices, the lighting and the sound and such like that in Wonder Boys definitely goes in a much darker direction
Right.
than it does in an American Fiction. So that's just things that I noticed, but all in all, American Fiction was so beautifully
Yeah.
done.
I think if they told this story in a darker way, in a more intense and like really kind of jam it down your throat type of way, it would have definitely turned off audiences. I think this tone really helped with that.
Yeah, I mean, I've definitely I work in a movie theater that's mostly white old people, and they all love the movie. So
There you go.
yeah, and but that's
They
the thing,
often don't appreciate it very
right? Yeah, they appreciate it, and that's actually the ironic part about it, right?
I
Is
know
like
he's
maybe we
kind of
couldn't tell
hysterical.
this story that way, right? Maybe people wouldn't have received it that way, and that's something to think about too. Because it is still really dark to think about what it means to be a writer in that position, as a Black man trying to speak with a voice that he only knows as his own, right? And that being the beauty and the part of his work that really drives him forward. And yet, to tell a Black story, he has to go out of himself and tell a story that is only encompassing one side of Blackness, Black culture. And it is encompassing the side that maybe is darker or of just like a lifestyle that he is not from at all. And that alone is a dark perspective on just like him looking at himself as if he is like not Black enough or he didn't live a Black enough life. And it kind of just shows how one is not more than the other. Both of those things happening at the same time in American fiction, the false writing that he was telling, this false stories of Blackness and his own real life are both Black experiences. Both of them are, and one is not more Black than the other. They can both exist in the same space.
There's so many themes popping up here.
Yeah.
We definitely have race, we definitely have, society, we have fame, and of course family. So all of these themes are so strong, and they're displayed so well here. They all intermingle with one another, and the performances really bring those themes out, and I think it's just a beautiful film.
Yeah, I mean the performances in this film. I mean, anything Jeffrey Wright does, I mean, I think he's one of the finest actors in recent years. Sterling K. Brown, he's I've loved I've been following his career since Army Wives. I'm not, it's a weird thing for, it was like, but me and my ex-wife, we used to watch it all the time, and I've like watched him grow as an actor over these years, and he's had such great charisma, and just like watching him get to like this role is he like he just nails it, and it's just very like I almost I felt like it's like one of those things like watching him act for so long, I was like, oh, I'm like proud of him. I'm like, oh, like that's my
Yeah,
boy. But
absolutely.
I mean, everything about this movie, like it made me laugh out loud in a theater, which very rarely happens these days, where I have actual out loud chuckles and stuff. But I do have slight issue with this film is that it covers so much subject matter that it almost feels at times like the movie forgets what it's trying to do. Because it's like you have like there's like 20 minutes where it's like, oh, right. This movie's about a book. Like, or like it's where it's like they're focusing on his love life, his brother, his mother. And it's like it kind of like it feels like it's a couple different films that are kind of like loosely, like almost like an anthology film that
A
like
little bit.
wraps up
Like it
in the
doesn't have
end.
a single identity on its
Yeah, like
own.
I feel like, especially if like you go off even the trailers. The first trailer is very much about the book. The second trailer is very much about family. So it's like weird because when the second trailer came out, I was like, oh, this feels like a completely different movie. And then watching it, I was like, now I understand why. Because it's like, it is like multiple kind of like movies in one,
Kind of stitched together like
kind of stitched
something.
together. And that was my only flaw with it is that it didn't feel as like cohesive. Like I felt like it felt like more like a TV show. It was like episodic.
It could have easily been a series. You're right. That's a good point. That's a good point.
But I mean overall I thought it was fantastic. It was very well made. I just I think the edit maybe it was the editing that I don't know.
I'll tell you though, I saw the movie twice and it got a lot better the second viewing. So maybe this
Yeah.
movie warrants multiple viewings. I don't know about
Maybe.
you, Castellan, if you share that sentiment.
Yeah, you both just made really great like points on your observations, right? Because I think that both of you are, onto something here. Yes, it goes into different worlds, but it's sort of what I said just now, where it's like we're telling two different stories about like Blackness, and yet they exist at the same time. And I think that although I know Matt, you're receiving it as though It's not cohesive, and there's multiple movies happening at the same time, or like multiple stories. I think that's almost like the choice. It
Yeah.
almost feels like it was like a choice to tell multiple sides of a Black experience at the
Yeah.
same time, because it was a very complex family experience and family dynamic in there as well. A dynamic that definitely goes strays away from the kind of storytelling that he was mimicking, right? And that was very, very true to just who he was as a person. And when we focus on things like Sterling K. Brown's experience as a character, or the relationship that they had with their sister's death when Tracee Elise Ross passed, and such like that, the relationship with the mother, the relationship with the family friend.
A lot going on here.
Yeah.
Thoughts.
Yeah, so there's a lot going on, and I found it to actually be very intentional for there to be many stories happening at once, because I mean, life is not linear that way, right?
That is true.
At the point of like them saying like the Black voice is supposed to sound like this, right? This is what gets publishers to publish a book. It's like, oh no, but actually there's so many more layers to it, right? When we
Wow.
hear those layers in other families or from other artists, sometimes we don't question it, but maybe we question it more when it comes from other artists' voices. It's pointing that out.
I get you. That's a really good point, Castro, and really, really good. I just wanted to close out this review by mentioning that I am not a Jeffrey Wright aficionado, but I think after this movie I will be.
Oh yeah, I mean,
This afternoon actually I watched Basquiat,
oh my God.
which I have never seen, and
Oh.
basically it's from 1996.
Yeah.
He was about 30 years old.
Yeah.
And it's about the real life artist from the 80s who
Yeah.
died of a heroin overdose. But Wright is perfect in this role.
Yeah, that was the first thing I ever saw him
It
in.
was like so
And
weird.
he's oh, so good.
Yeah, it was so weird just seeing him in this and then seeing him in
Yeah,
Basquiat.
yeah, yeah.
Like such different performances. He like really transforms
But
himself sometimes.
he's great. Even and modern, he was Commissioner Gordon
Of course.
in the last Batman
Right.
movie,
I just know him as
as
a
the narrator on Marvel's What If.
but
Like
for
his voice is just so.
but I'd say for the last 15 to 20 years, he's usually been supporting
Yeah,
roles, you know?
and this is like, it was like I've been, because it feels like since Basquiat, he hasn't
Yeah.
had like a real leading role.
This is
And it
it.
was great to see him have one, because it's like
Yeah.
he deserves to be a leading man,
Of course.
like
He has
so
that
good.
power to drive the story.
Yeah. It's a very understated, very subtle, nuanced performance, and he's brilliant.
He's so good.
I have a he has a strong shot, I think, at the Oscar this year. It might go to Cillian Murphy. It might, I don't know. It's up in the air, really. But we shall see for American Fiction. So we've got five nominations, the Oscar next Sunday night, guys. So tune in for that. Oh, also, before we go. Before we move on, I wanted to mention Erica Alexander, who plays the love interest here to Monk. She was the one Living Single. I did not know that. I had to look her up. I was like, she looks familiar, but
Also, I would love to just, in the writing, the ode to the Thelonious Monk, who was a composer and this like amazing Black man that just like really created an imprint on American jazz music as a pianist. And I mean, there was just such a nod to someone like him and his story. And I know we can't talk about that much, but that was another part of this film that was really beautiful and intentional, just highlighting the correlation between these two Black artists from just like different realms.
Nice. Yeah, I love this movie. I'm going to watch it again a couple more times, and I'm sure there's stuff that I didn't really catch or whatever, but every time I see it, second time was great. So
Nice.
American Fiction.
Definitely need to give it another go around.
Yes, of course. All right, guys. So now we're gonna switch gears. We're gonna go back in time a little bit to 2000. The
24 years ago.
that's insane. But this movie is another dramedy. It's called Wonder Boys, and it stars Michael Douglas as Grady Tripp. He's a professor of creative writing. He's also kind of blocked in terms of writing his second novel. His first novel, Arsonist Daughter, did very, very well, and that was about 7 years ago. So everyone's been waiting, especially his editor, his publisher or editor, played by Robert Downey Jr., to get this book done. And then along the way, Michael Douglas's one of his students basically steals a piece of memorabilia. And I don't want to get into all the details, but he screws up. He screws the pooch, actually.
Yeah.
He
He
shoots the
does
pooch.
more than screw
He
the
shoots the pooch. And basically, it's Michael Douglas and Tobey Maguire kind of like going on this road trip. And the movie kind of like wanders a little bit. And like,
pooch.
where is this story going? But it's got such a great cast. You've got Douglas, you've got Maguire, Downey Jr.,
Yes, Dorman,
French
yeah.
is great, the late great Rip Torn.
Yep.
Katie Holmes is in this,
Yeah.
and I love this movie so much. I used to play this movie in high school on a VHS, and basically it would help me go to sleep because it was such a
Oh,
quiet
nice.
film. It was like a nice warm glass of milk, and it's just a really funny, really honest portrayal of campus life,
Yeah.
college life, and writers especially, and just regular people and what they go through. And this film is brilliant, definitely under the radar. I really wish people saw it. They released it in 2000. It did awful at the box
Yeah.
office. Then they re-released it, I believe like a couple months later or a year later, and it still didn't do well.
Yeah.
But we're talking about it tonight, and I'm proud of that fact because this movie
Yeah.
deserves all the acclaim it can get.
I was 22 when this movie came out.
Nice.
I
I
you
was
know,
five.
I worked at Tower Records, so I was at Tower Records.
Nice.
I remember I picked up the soundtrack immediately. It had some new Bob Dylan
Bob
songs on
Dylan.
it.
And that Bob Dylan won the Oscar for
And he
that
won the
song.
Oscar for it. I did not see the movie until they re-released it,
Okay.
which was what, 2001.
Something like that,
It was
yeah.
like,
Like a year later.
but yeah, I was one of the few people that saw it the second time around. And then I immediately bought it when it was released on D DVD,
Nice.
which I think I sold when I initially sold all my DVDs. And then later regretted selling all my DVDs.
Wait, is it at the Pickle Island or
No,
oh,
no.
okay.
If it was, I would have
Yeah,
it back
you would have,
forever. I would
yeah.
have been like, oh, no, but I did, I did, I sold DVDs at conventions and stuff for a long time. So
Wow.
I sadly, that one got away from me,
Okay.
and I had to rent it to watch it again. But I will re-own it at some point.
Nice.
I regret a lot of the things I let go.
I know
Oh,
the feeling, and I believe it's on Blu-ray at this point. So
that's good.
It's
definitely.
available for rent on Amazon
Oh
Prime.
yeah, I believe.
Yeah,
Yeah,
same. I don't
yeah,
think it's very pricey if anyone wanted to like go out
yeah.
of the way and watch it.
It's fantastic. I think it's like
Yeah.
$3, $4. Yeah,
Yeah,
so
$4 on Amazon Prime.
totally worth it.
Worth the rental.
Yeah, Casterlin, I know this is your first time seeing the film. What were your
Yes.
thoughts?
Yes, it was my first time watching the film. And of course, I've never been on this series, this podcast, this show that you have here. And I kind of found myself thinking at first, like, oh my gosh, this is so different from American Fiction, just like in like just the whole like journey of storytelling. And you just mentioned, Randy, that yeah, it's like it's that kind of film where there actually is so much action without it being loud,
Yeah.
right? And I've always been one of those people that really appreciates silence because you can say so much in quiet moments. I think that's just like the actor in me that really appreciates the unspoken things or the moments in between. And I found that we didn't need there to be gunshots and explosions and and chaos happening for the story to be strong. And I thought it was a really beautiful journey. It was hilarious. I was cackling. I was like, how did I not see this? Also, so many things that are just like ahead of its time. I was like, wow, this came out in 2000. And I'm
Yeah.
like, oh, we totally like say things differently than we did and in 2000, and we do these things differently. And that was really cool. But overall, what I found parallel to American fiction is actually how dynamic in many stories happening at once. There was a really, really big amount of just action. You
Right.
know, you had relationships happening and secrets and things that you kind of thought were, you know, being it was kind of like something in passing, but then it came back, you know. And that was something that I found to be very similar to American fiction. I think that maybe we are looking at it differently because of the intention of the message, right? In the end, what I found to be the kind of like thicket on both of them, like that button, is like the dynamic nature of life is what grounds any person and grounds an artist in their work, right? It's like Thelonious Monk experiencing life all around him, searching for love, experiencing loss, and the complexities of the relationships and the relationships with himself. But also then we have our professor here in Wonder Boy experiencing all of these people that are just so incredibly different from him, and yet he's finding sort of a middle ground, a touching point where they're all colliding constantly
All of
and
this stuff, all of this stuff happening to this one man in each story, each film, and it's like he maintains his composure pretty much throughout the whole thing. He's kind of like there. He's just in the middle of all of it, and everything is crashing down around him, and it's
And he's
brilliance.
just
Exactly.
playing, you know, it's his life and it's happening.
Yeah.
And he's just continuing to just live life through it.
Yeah.
He's just like coasting life along.
I really think Michael Douglas should have gotten a nomination here
Yeah,
as an Oscar nominee
absolutely.
because he was brilliant. This is, I think, without
Yeah, he
a doubt,
will.
it might be tied with The Game as my favorite Michael Douglas movie.
Yeah, I mean, the game is probably my favorite, but this
That's
is a
so good.
close second.
And I just want to mention the cast here. So you have a cast that is stacked, and they're all basically, they have, would later on go on to do superhero movies. Pretty much everybody in the cast.
Yeah.
Michael Douglas with Ant-Man.
Yeah, it's Ant-Man, Spider-Man,
Yeah,
Iron
Tobey Maguire, Spidey, Frances
Man.
McDormand, Dark Man,
Yeah.
Katie Holmes, Batman,
That's true.
Robert Downey Jr., Iron Man,
Yeah.
and lastly, Rip Torn. He was in the Men in Black movie, so that's sort of a it's a comic book movie.
Yeah.
So, but I thought that was an interesting little tidbit, a little bit of trivia there. But I can't praise this movie enough, man. I just I'm I really it needs we need to bring it into the collective psyche
Yeah.
of
Well,
America.
it's we finally, yeah, we're finally doing this movie. Like,
Yes.
it's a movie that me and Randy have discussed. Like, I feel like that's I have like very little to say about it right now because I
Because we've
feel
already
like we
said
talk about this movie
it.
like every week.
I know.
And
Pretty
it
much.
was like, let's just do it. Like,
Yeah.
I
It's
mean,
great.
it gets brought up so often on
I
this
know.
show.
I don't know if we're gonna do we should probably do a 25th anniversary show next year for it,
Yeah.
but it's a, that's an idea. We'll see. We'll see.
That would be really cool. That would be really
Yeah.
cool.
It's
You
just a
know
great.
what? Yeah. I love that you chose two films today that really highlighted life because
Yeah.
life is not a flat playing field. It's never one thing.
Yeah.
There's always something happening in the background or your external space that influences you, affects you, even it can be a domino effect. And it affects the work you put out into the world. And as artists, our work touches people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was really impactful from both films.
These, yeah, both films definitely highlight that. Bringing art and the sacrifices one would make to bring that art to the masses. And not necessarily, I mean, both characters, they don't want to sell out.
No.
But
Oh.
they're kind of forced to, at least Monk is,
Yeah.
you know, because no one's buying his stuff. And so
Which
he's,
I is a struggle. Most films about authors is that struggle where,
you know,
you know, it's like where art becomes, you
business.
know, business, and
Right.
it's you know, and it's like first and foremost, obviously the artist wants art, and you know, the mass. I mean, it's the same thing with film. What's
Yeah.
art and what's whatever,
You're right.
what's just business,
Absolutely.
I would
Well,
love to. Oh,
oh
I'm
yeah.
so sorry, Randy.
No. I just want to mention Wonder Boys was shot on location in Pittsburgh, and
Oh.
I think the setting really contributed to the storytelling.
Yeah.
It really became a character in its own right.
Yeah.
So.
That's the one thing that's great about movies that still shoot on location, is that, it really makes the location a character. I went to see The Holdovers with Alexander Payne, and he was discussing how we only
Oh, you're
he
friends with him? No, I'm kidding.
no, but
Well,
during the Q&A he
oh, that's
was
cool.
talking about how he doesn't shoot in studios. He always shoots on location
See, I love
because
that.
it's like,
Love it.
it's just like it adds so much more. And he's
Yeah.
so right, because it's like you look at any of these movies shot on location, and it's like there's this warmth, there's this like this just
Yeah.
like its own life
Yeah.
breathed into it that you could tell a studio movie. It's like,
You can't shoot a story like that in a sound stage because it won't have the same impact, it won't resonate, and it won't have the same impact that a real story should have. I mean, it should be all movies should be shot. Basquiat was shot in New York
New
City,
York City,
and I love movies that are shot in the city because it's just so authentic and it adds to the story brilliantly. I love
And you
it.
can always tell when it's really New York City. When
Right.
they're like, it's like, what is Canada? Like you are in Toronto. Don't kid me here. No, it's like,
That's sort of that's right. All right, so guys, we're about out of time. But Castrolin, are there any plugs you have, any projects you're working on or?
Well, actually, I am just working on commercial things right now, things that I can't always talk about and such like that. But if anyone wants to find me on Instagram or Twitter or YouTube or anything like that, it's my name, Castellín Villar, which will probably be in the description. But even before we wrap up, I also wanted to make one more comment about the films.
Oh, sure.
And it's about the endings and about how different they are, because one was left very open-ended and the other one wrapped up really beautifully, right? So American Fiction was a little bit of a, like, you can kind of infer in your own right what happens and where it goes. But I found that the cleanness and the conclusion of Wonder Boys was also equally as gratifying. So, here we are doing gratifying work, right? And so find me on Instagram, Casterling Villar. Yes, Twitter as Casterling, YouTube also Casterling Villar. I'm the only Casterling. So if you look me up, you will probably find me.
That's great. Having a unique name like that is perfect especially for an artist. So good for you. That's awesome. Mr. Roran, any plugs for you, sir?
As always, Saturday nights at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington, Long Island, New York. We have Cult Cafe. This month I am doing a Women's History Month program. We did League of Their Own last night. I got Clueless coming up next week.
Oh.
I got Lost in Translation the week after.
Yes.
Just One of the Guys the week after that.
Is that Amanda Bynes?
No,
Oh.
it's from 1985.
Okay. Oh, Paul. What the guy from Breakfast Club. What's his name? He was Halloween. Oh, who's the nerd from the Breakfast Club?
Oh, wait, talking about Anthony Michael Hall?
Yes.
No, he's not.
No, he's not.
Cooling. He's not in it.
Just
Billy Zabka's in it though.
oh.
But it's 1985. Basically, I mean, like, it's a she's the man style story.
That's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was.
That's Amanda Bynes, but this one is
Gotcha.
and Sherilyn Fenn from Twin Peaks is also
Oh,
in it,
okay. She's
a
good.
young Sherilyn Fenn.
Oh.
But it's a classic I
Okay.
enjoy thoroughly, and we're doing that. And then and then Pickle Island, if you want pickles or CDs or DVDs or comics, 12 Ludlam Avenue in Bayville, New York. We're over there. So
Awesome. Busy man, you are. Very good, very good. And as for me, you can check out the basically every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, you can tune in for brand new episodes of Under the Radar on SiriusXM Radio through Slam Radio. Also, you can check out the video version of the podcast on Manhattan Neighborhood Network, and that's every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And as always, feel free to subscribe to the Under the Radar YouTube channel and share the love. So, Castellan and Matt, I want to thank you so much for your time tonight. This was incredible.
Always a pleasure.
I think we got a lot of ground covered tonight, and I look forward to seeing you guys in the near future. So, guys, I'm Randy Younger. This has been Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together one frame at a time. We'll see you next time. Take care.